Welcome back to the book of Exodus, chapter 10, and the plagues are not done. Peyton is with us once again.
Hey, hold on. We already did this. You can't introduce me as one of the plagues again.
But there's more plagues coming.
Yet the fact remains, I am not one of them.
That is true, I concede. But you have to wonder here, why so many plagues? One after another, and each one more devastating. How much will it take? And why is God now hardening Pharaoh's heart?
These plagues are heavy, but remember where chapter 9 ended? Pharaoh admitted his sin and asked for relief. Sounds good. But Moses said, I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God. And sure enough, when the hail stopped, he and his officials hardened their hearts. God isn't looking for an empty apology here, and Pharaoh still doesn't fear God.
That's true. Also remember, the Egyptians have been actively oppressing the Israelites for generations. They attempted to murder an entire generation, and Pharaoh thinks he can get away with it because he's a god. He believes that he is the incarnation of Ra, the sun god, and his pride won't end until he truly fears the true God. A moment of regret isn't enough. This is a statement to the world against idolatry and against oppression. You are not God, and oppression is wrong. And that statement needs to be made in full.
And so Exodus 10 begins. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his officials, so that I may perform these signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I perform my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord.
This is the seventh and final statement amidst these plagues, that you may know. And this one is for Israel and their descendants. They need to know that he is the Lord. There are many things to learn and to know in your walk through this life. But Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It starts here. Know that he is the Lord.
God is preparing this story as a testimony to future generations, that you may tell your children and grandchildren. Whatever God has us going through, it's not just about us. Our lives will be a testimony, but there is no testimony without testing.
Now verse 3. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. And there's that reminder again. This is God's word. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will bring locusts into your country tomorrow. They will cover the face of the ground so that it cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including every tree that is growing in your fields. They will fill your houses.
Locusts are a terrible plague. They travel in swarms and devour everything. And there's a picture here again of sin. Sin devours every good thing in your life. All the good fruit, love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, sin eats it all away.
And this time, Pharaoh's officials have had it. They tell him, Let the people go. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is ruined? Have you ever tried to reason with someone who just won't let go of sin? Look, your family is ruined. You've lost almost everything. Why are you holding on to this? It might be addiction or lust or greed or just pride. And maybe that's you, a listener. Let it go.
Pharaoh says he's ready to let it go. Just not let go completely. In verse 8, Go worship the Lord your God, he said. But tell me who will be going.
Moses answered, We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, and with our flocks and herds. In other words, everyone goes.
But Pharaoh's not having it. No, have only the men go and worship the Lord.
This is the third compromise offered by Pharaoh, and again, it's a picture for us. When a man gets right with God, the temptation will come. Worshiping God is a personal thing. Don't take your family, don't make your kids go. But God calls families. It's tough to make that work sometimes, especially in ministry. And I remember well, years ago, we were on a mission trip with our 2-year-old, and it would have been so much easier to go it alone. But I came away with a firm decision for life. Ministry and worship are a family calling. No one gets left behind. And I've never regretted it. 25 years on, that little 2-year-old now takes her own family to the same mission field.
So Moses stands firm. Pharaoh sends him away, and the Lord instructs Moses, "Stretch out your hand over Egypt, so that locusts swarm over the land and devour everything growing in the fields, everything left by the hail."
An east wind comes in all day and all night. By morning, the locusts invade Egypt. They cover the ground until it's black, and they devour all that's left. And what a picture of sin. When it takes over, it destroys friendship, family, work, everything. Jesus tells us that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Yet Jesus came that we may have life to the full.
Pharaoh summons Moses and asks for forgiveness, and please remove the plague. Moses prays, the wind changes, and the locusts are gone.
In verse 20, "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go."
Verse 21, "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness spreads over Egypt, darkness that can be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days.
Have you ever experienced a darkness that you can feel? The picture of sin here is powerful. The progression of it, sin will eat away all that is good in your life and leave you alone. You disconnect from others. Look at verse 23. "No one could see anyone else or move about for 3 days. And that's what sin does. When greed drives you, then people are just tools to be used. When lust takes hold, people are just toys to be played with. And soon, you don't really see anyone. You are alone.
When Jesus comes into your life, light comes in. He is the light of the world. But some people love their darkness and hide from the light.
And there in Egypt, something amazing. All the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. And that picture astounds me. Light in their homes. Was it supernatural? Was it God's presence? And again, the picture. As a Christian, is there light in my home? There's so much darkness in the world. Yet God never called us to curse the darkness. He called us to walk in the light and to shine that light like a city on a hill.
So Pharaoh summons Moses one last time. "Go, worship the Lord. Even your women and children may go with you. Only leave your flocks and herds behind." This is the fourth compromise offered. Everyone can go, but leave the livestock, your valuables. The devil will make you the same deal. Go worship God, but keep your treasures in the world, your money, your car, your toys, whatever you treasure. But Jesus reminds us, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So store up your treasures in heaven.
That insight is huge. Your heart is tethered to whatever you treasure. And if Satan can hold on to one little thing that you can't live without, he knows you'll come back. But Moses says, everything for God, not a hoof left behind. No compromise.
Back in Egypt, the Lord hardens Pharaoh's heart and he drives Moses out. "Get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die."
"Just as you say," Moses replied. I will never appear before you again.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.